This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and as always, here the last 16 months flying solo. Still looking forward to having Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church back in studio with me one day. And I think it's closer now than it's ever been, so I'm hoping that means here in the next month or so. But we'll have to see about that. My next guest, and if you listen to the show a lot, you know if I've got a baseball guy on and I say, hey, look, you want to get up in the mound and throw a batting practice, you better bring a lot of balls because I'm going to take you deep. You want to have football guys, you know, all the smack talk for an old 61-year-old grandfather of four, can't back any of it up. I can't say anything to Sarah Bradley Young. I'm not talking smack when it comes to golf at all. So I'm just going to say, look, I have too much respect for how bad I am at that game to talk any smack at all. Our guest for the entire hour today, she is Sarah Bradley Young, Director of College Women's Ministry for Global Golf. Sarah, how you doing today?
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, it's, weather, summer in Wisconsin. We get it for about 4 weeks, and then blizzards come, so not bad. Not bad. The golf courses, I'm sure, are packed with those boys that play a lot of golf. If I was any good at it, Sarah, I would play. And I can't figure the game out. I've been okay. Eye-hand coordination, right? Pretty good softball, pretty good baseball player. Basketball, I can hit a jump shot once in a while, can throw a football, all that. When it comes to golf, it gets right into my head, into my kitchen, and it rattles the canned goods, Sarah, and I can't figure the game out.
Yeah, it's a game for life, though, Mike. So once you start, you'll be playing forever.
Well, no, I've tried. I always have to end up going and buying more balls because Sarah, my sister, who was there's six McGivern kids in this family. My sister Colleen was one of the two that was very non-athletic, didn't like sports, didn't care about sports, didn't play sports, but her husband loves golf. So Colleen said, look, if I want to spend more time with my husband, I'm going to learn this game. So she went out, and they are part of a country club here in southeast Wisconsin, and she took lessons, and she got really good. And she hits the ball 150 yards straight down the middle of the fairway. She chips it to the green, and she putts it and goes to the next tee box.
Amazing.
I get to see the whole course. I get to see the water. I get to see the woods. She's very boring to play with because she just doesn't really see much of the golf course. That's what I tell her anyway. But she has gotten this really nice, easy swing. keeps her head down. Everything is really good and hits the ball consistently 150 right down the middle of the fairway.
Good on her.
Not bad, right?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So, hey, when you were playing at your peak, what was a good drive for you? How far could you hit one?
I was never a really long hitter, Mike. I reckon around 250.
Man.
And honestly, I stopped playing competitive golf in 2013. And I can tell you, these girls hit it so far today. It's a mixture of really good strength. They've got great conditioning, but also technology is coming along in leaps and bounds.
Hey, Sarah, and that part of the game that you love, I think has really changed a lot with the technology, correct? And then also the nutritional side and the idea of getting in the weight room and being fit and getting stronger. There's so many ways now, depending on what sport. It used to be you go in and you do curls and you do bench presses and you do stuff like that. You don't have to do that stuff anymore to get really strong and have, a quicker, obviously if your shoulders are stronger and you have a quicker, a quicker swing, if that's what you're looking to do. There's so many ways to get better and to be a better athlete when it comes to golf than there were, say, 15 years ago.
Oh yeah, these girls are athletes, and it's a long time on your feet mentally. I think through them being fit athletically as well, it makes them mentally strong. And you hear that when your kind of average club golfer for a male, if he watches the LPGA, like the ladies professional golf, or any woman golfer play golf, their tempo helps them. So that's a good little tip for your listeners.
Very much
so. Go watch some women's golf if you want to improve your swing.
And I tell guys, if they want to improve to be, like for kids to be a better basketball player, don't watch the NBA. Watch the WNBA. Because, mm-hmm. Fundamentally, it's just a different game. They dribble the ball a little bit better. They get in gaps and kick to the open person. And they box out, actually. They actually box out, and I don't know if they do that much in the NBA anymore, so I would agree with you. Hey, Sarah, so people that have been with us here the first few minutes understand that you are not from Wisconsin, and I just want to talk a little bit about where you grew up and how you ended up coming to the United States.
Okay, so I am originally from New Zealand. If anyone's been trying to guess where this accent is from, quite often I get England or Australia. But I'm from New Zealand. I grew up there. My family still live in New Zealand. I'm one of four girls. I have a twin sister. Her name is Lauren. And we're the youngest. And so I grew up an avid soccer fan, actually. My dad, he's from Northern Ireland in Belfast. And he convinced me from a very young age that I had the talent and I had what it took to be on the Manchester United soccer team. So that's what I trained for every day, was my soccer. Until the age of 12, I was in a I crashed my bike while I was giving my twin sister a race home from school, and I split my kneecap in half. And I remember sitting crying in my surgeon's office when he told me that I couldn't play soccer anymore. And then I asked him, well, what can I play? And he was like, well, you could play golf. I was like, golf? Golf? Who plays golf? What is golf? No way, I'm not playing golf. But my competitive spirit overtook me, and so I picked up a golf club, and the rest is kind of history, actually. I represented New Zealand a few years after beginning, and that's when I first came across my first ever American golfer when we were playing the Junior World Championships in Fiji. And her name was Tiffany Jo. She now plays on the LPGA. And she told me about college in America. And I got really excited at the idea of, I could go live in America and go to college. So I continued playing golf in New Zealand. And when I was 19 years old, I was playing in Australia for our national team. And I had met the head golf coach at Oklahoma State University, and she offered me a scholarship to Oklahoma State. And I said, well, that sounds like a great idea. So I went home to New Zealand and I said, hey, Mum and Dad, I'm moving to America in August. And they're like, oh, okay. And so, you know, I boarded a plane 3 or 4 months later, asked the woman on the plane next to me where Oklahoma was and how close the nearest beach would be. And she quickly told me that there's no beach in Oklahoma, which was a bit of a shock to me, considering I was moving to Stillwater, Oklahoma. So I just thought that there must be lots of water in Oklahoma. I was shocked when I landed on this on a plain of red dirt. And, culture shock to say the least, but really life-changing, a great experience.
Sarah, I sure wish my co-host was here. My co-host before COVID, and he's the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church where I go to church. He is from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Booner Sooner man. He just, not a big state fan, but loves Oklahoma, loves the Oklahoma University, loves their football program, loves their basketball program, but he grew up in Tulsa. And he would, I would not be able to get a word in edgewise because he'd say, hey, have you been to this restaurant? Have you been to this church? Do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? Our special guest for the entire hour today, she is Sarah Bradley Young, Director of College Women's Ministry for Global Golf. As we talk with Sarah, globalgolforg.org, globalgolforg.org is their website. You can follow her on Twitter at Sarah Global Golf. And I can tell you a little bit about this Global Golf, and I found them. I was, at the office one of these mornings, and I don't sleep a whole lot at times, and I came in and the funnel started to get a little bit thin on guests for Faith in the Zone, and that's the toughest part. If anybody ever wonders what's the hardest part of doing Faith in the Zone, two things. One, finding guests that are willing to get up on the mountaintop with us a little bit, and two, every time I come in here, there's something matter at the computer, only when I come in for Faith in the Zone. I come in and do my Nary show, the home improvement part, the U Sports show, high school sports show. Everything works out. Bing, no problem. I walk in. There wasn't anybody else in here. I recorded a couple of shows last night, and I came in, and nothing's changed, but it didn't work. And I had to bring somebody else in who hit a couple buttons, and it worked. Those are the tough things. So I thank Sarah. I found them as I just went on Golf Ministries, Golf professional Christians, I start Googling things and was very interested in meeting Sarah Bradley Young because of her entire story. And I've done some research on her and Global Golf. And I look forward to talking a lot about this mission that she is on. This is her ministry. There's no doubt in my mind. The mission of Global Golf is to understand the mindset, soul, and life of those on tour, retired from the tour, or perhaps about to be on the tour, and to offer a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So when a company's willing to put their mission right on the front of their website, I get encouraged by that because they're not running from who they are. What their entire mission is look, let's get a personal relationship for these people that are in and around golf with Jesus Christ. This includes encouraging those in the golfing community to reach their full potential as athletes and, more important, to follow Jesus Christ. What a great mission statement, and I can't wait to dig more into how she's doing that. And again, she is Sarah Bradley Young. When you go on that website, globalgolforg.org, if you're feeling led to help Sarah, and we'll find out later in the show how this is being funded, and how does she, make a living doing this, which is a very difficult thing. She stepped out by pure faith, and she's about to have her firstborn, by the way. Your first child is coming soon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How soon?
In July.
So, okay.
Well, maybe 6 weeks away, I think.
Getting close. Is the room ready?
No.
No. What is your husband's?
Both was my baby before this one came along.
What is your husband's? What's your husband's name?
His name is Kyle.
So, young Kyle, got to get going on that room. I'm just telling you. Hey, last question. Your twin sister. How did she take the news when you said back in the day, "Hey, I'm moving to America in a few weeks"?
really interesting. So we're mirror image twins. She's left-handed, I'm right-handed. We had been through a lot together as it was. So she's an artist and a creative. So it was kind of no shock to her. We're both kind of each other's encouragement to be a go-getter. My life drastically changed when I came to college because I didn't grow up in a Christian family. And so there's been a lot of cultural changes between my life in New Zealand, my life here in America. And I think that's been sometimes it's been quite tough for both Lauren and I because we live in completely different worlds right now.
Right.
But we're incredibly close. I love her so much. So I'm thankful that the Lord chose her to be my twin sister.
Boy, that's awesome. Yeah, she is Sarah Bradley Young. Grew up in New Zealand and moved to play college golf. I was going to say soccer. To play college golf. Is your dad still with us?
Yes, he is.
I bet he just was as proud of you, how good you got in golf, as he would have if you had played for Manchester United.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's. Yeah. I love that. And the fact that he's an Irish boy from Belfast, I like that even more. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, stick around because Sarah's testimony is really strong. And I can tell you that my favorite segment in Faith in the Zone is always the second segment because everybody who's on the show has a story. And their story's just, I'm no longer that tough Irish kid from the east side of Milwaukee because these always get me very emotional. That's for sure. She is Sarah Bradley Young. Again, you can follow her on Twitter, @SarahGlobalGolf. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and our special guest for the entire hour, she's the Director of College Women's Ministry for Global Golf. She is Sarah Bradley Young. She is originally from New Zealand and ended up in Oklahoma thinking she was going to be on the beach in Stillwater. Well, she found out pretty quick that was not going to happen. Sarah, the second segment, like I talked about at the end of the first segment, is definitely my favorite segment of Faith in the Zone. And if you would you be willing to share your testimony with us, please?
Absolutely, Mark. So 2006, as a 19-year-old coming from New Zealand with dreams to go play on the LPGA, I kind of left my parents' home thinking that I had a plan for my life. And then that plan kind of took a different twist when I landed in Stillwater. I landed at, I still think, one of the best golf programs in the nation. I landed it in Stillwater, Carson Creek. If anyone's ever seen it on TV, they play national championships there. It really is just kind of the golf mecca and just the home of college golf, I feel like. Well, so I arrived there and I was living this dream. And I had a great freshman year. Things were going pretty well. And then as I started going and getting into my sophomore year, I started pushing a little bit harder. I maybe got into the wrong group of friends. You know, when you're playing college golf, or any type of elite sport, that becomes your identity pretty quick. And things weren't going great with my golf, and I started finding other ways to get my fulfillment and identity and just kind of my happiness met. I made some pretty poor decisions and ended up with a fake ID in my hand, and I actually got arrested for a fake ID probably in about October 2007. And I often think back to decisions that you make in your life, and then there are decisions that you make that kind of stick with you for a very long time. And this is probably one that I made. Being from New Zealand, it's not the smartest idea being an international student and using a fake ID because of the implications it has on your visa status. So anyway, I was embarrassed and I assured my coaches that nothing, you know, that I'd come back better and stronger and that I wouldn't do this again. And so I got given some community service hours. I continued playing golf for my team, and I started, like, working really, really hard to make sure that I wasn't that person. You know, I could come back better than I had before I kind of all the wheels came off.
Sure.
So I went home to New Zealand, and, well, actually, part of the story was is I was given these community service hours, and I was working for Salvation Army, and I would have people crossing my path at moments where I was feeling really sorry for myself and tell me about Jesus. And I was just like, yeah, like, I live on the Bible Belt. People are going to tell me about Jesus, you know, like being in Stillwater, Oklahoma. So I went to my supervisor. It was the day before I was due to fly home to New Zealand, and I said to her, hey, I'm going home to New Zealand tomorrow for Christmas. I'm going to be back in January so I can complete my community service hours. Just so you know, I am coming back. And she signed off my piece of paper, and she was like, oh, honey, you've been the best worker we've ever had. You haven't stolen anything. You've shown up every day. And I still had, like, 3 or 4 hours of community service left, and she signed it off. And she said to me, you know, you need to go home to New Zealand and forget that any of this ever happened and come back here and have a fresh start next year. And so I just smiled, and I thanked her. And I went home to New Zealand, really, like I said earlier, determined to come back. You know, I was Sarah Bradley, the golfer. I was going to come back to Oklahoma State and really help the team and play well like I had played in my freshman year. And so I worked really, really hard when I was at home. I didn't spend much time with my family. I didn't spend much time with anyone. I spent all my time on the golf course, like, getting better, and in the gym, getting stronger. And it was the day before I was due to fly back to the United States. I was with my dad. My mum had said to me, she was like, Sarah, you've spent no time with your father since you've been home. Can you go spend the day with him? And we went to go visit my grandparents that were over at the beach, which was an hour drive over a mountain range. And we had a great day. And then when we were driving back, my dad was like, hey, honey, like, we had friends waiting for us at our house. It was going to be a long night. And he was like, why don't you take a nap? And then you'll be well rested by the time we get home. And so while we were driving home, my dad, I don't know if he had a stroke or a blackout or what happened, but he veered left. And when he hit the gravel on the side of the road, it was on the highway, he overcorrected, and we did a T-bone. My passenger door was hit by oncoming traffic at about 70 miles an hour.
Oh, my.
We were hit by 2 cars, and I don't remember any of this because I was asleep. From that point on, it's all a bit of a blur. I had a TBI, which is a traumatic brain injury, where there was bleeding to my brain. I lost my short-term memory and spent quite a bit of time in recovery back in New Zealand. And so they said it took like 2 hours to get me out of the car, and they really thought that at the scene that I wasn't going to make it. But here I am, right?
Wow.
As a 20-year-old, I kept journals every day to remind myself of what was going on because I didn't have my short-term memory. And, I mean, reading these journals was just this overarching theme of, like, why am I here? Like, what's kept me here? Like, who am I? You know, because you look in the mirror and I was Sarah Bradley the golfer, right? Sarah Bradley the golfer who lived in America, but now I was, you know, Sarah Bradley, a girl who had a head injury, who was living at a parent's house in New Zealand. I couldn't figure out, like, why am I here and what's my purpose?
Oh, I just get shivers up my spine with that. Sure. How did your dad, he obviously survived.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of injuries for him?
Actually, no injuries. But physically, I think he had like some broken ribs, but emotionally, I can imagine how scarring it could be if there's any fathers out there who would witness their child going through what I went through.
Right.
And it was kind of a rough season just because, it was just hard. I don't know if anyone has had a head injury before, but it's an invisible injury, right? You look in the mirror and you look normal, and there's no timeline. So if you put if you break your arm, you put a cast on it, and in 6 weeks it's going to be fixed. But when it comes to a head injury, it's very similar to a stroke. Like being a stroke victim, you just don't know if you'll ever make a full recovery. So it was a really, really long journey. I had some beautiful people come into my life who helped me get back on track in terms of setting up really strict sleep routines and things like that. I was told that 25% of my brain was functioning, which I don't know what that means, how much of our brain we use, but really told that I would never make a full recovery. But so what ended up happening was I got the go-ahead from my doctor to leave New Zealand. So it was about 8 months later, and I left New Zealand, arrived in LA after a 13-hour flight. And, you know, I've been sleeping every day for the last 8 months and just dreaming of what my return to America would be like. I was thinking it would be this glory story, right? Like everyone would be happy to see me after this, you know, this near-death experience. And
sure.
I arrived in L.A. and I went through immigration. And as soon as I got there, some officers came and walked me away into a room and interrogated me for a while, asked me why there was a search warrant out for my arrest. And I was confused, right? I'm like, why? And I was trying to tell them, well, I don't have a memory. Like, it was just very, very hard. But it was because of what had happened. And I had a court date in January that previous year that I had been missing because I was in New Zealand I was recovering from my accident. And so this haunting thing of this mistake I'd made and when I was back in Stillwater, followed me.
Sarah, I'm sorry. Sarah, are you still there? You know what? We lost Sarah. We're going to take a break because, I'm at the end of my chair, and I want to know what happened with that. She is Sarah Bradley Young, Director of College Women's Ministry for Global Golf. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Sarah Global Golf, at Sarah Global Golf. And as we talk more about this ministry that Global Golf has, you can go to their website, globalgolforg.org, globalgolforg.org. Again, she is Sarah Bradley Young. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight,
You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is...
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. We've got Sarah Bradley Young back, Director of College Women's Ministry for Global Golf. Again, you can follow her on Twitter or Instagram at Sarah Global Golf. And their website is globalgolforg.org. So, Sarah, where we got disconnected, they pulled you in the airport in Los Angeles, and they pulled you in the back and said, look, there's a warrant out for your arrest. So this one mistake that I'm telling you, everybody I know in college has a fake ID somehow, somewhere. And this has now stayed with you for well over a year, and you just can't shake this thing, even though the people at Salvation Army said, look, you are done, honey. Go home. Go have fun. Don't worry about us back here. So what happened then in Los Angeles, and how did you get out of that?
Well, you know, I wish I could have said that I prayed and been saved, but I didn't. I was like, this crazy country, I had spent the last 8 months just wanting to be back here, and now I'm back here, they don't want me. I ended up eventually being able to show them doctor's records and evidence that I'd been at home in an accident, and they let me off. I had missed flights, clearly, and I was, if anyone's ever been in a plane going down, touching down in Oklahoma in the middle of a thunderstorm, you can imagine how crazy it is. But we were coming into Oklahoma. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, massive storm, and we get onto the tarmac, and I'm just wanting to get to Stillwater. And we arrive there, and people are screaming and praying, and you know, and I'm like wondering who on earth they're praying to. Then we landed in Oklahoma City, and the door was jammed on the plane, and someone yelled out from the back of the plane, well, somebody's on this plane who God doesn't want to be in Oklahoma. And I was like,
uh-oh.
Oh my gosh, is that me? Like, what is going on? And then I stepped off the plane, and it was an empty airport. There was no one there. And then I really sat on my bags on the curbside outside of the airport. And I, for the first time in 8 or 9 months, I was actually able to cry. That was part of my head injury, was not being able to show emotion, but I was just kind of so overwhelmed at why my life just kept on getting worse and worse and worse. But I ended up getting back to Oklahoma State. Things weren't going great with my recovery. I was having a really hard time trying to play golf in the heat. I really just wanted to prove to everyone that I could still play golf, and in reality, I couldn't really. I actually needed to spend most of my days sleeping, but I just thought that if I could leave New Zealand and get back to America, everything would be better again.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily the case. So I was getting ready to leave college golf altogether. I just wanted to go back to New Zealand. And my coach, he's now the assistant coach at Oklahoma State for the men's program, but his name was Donnie Dar, and he pulled me aside and he said, he used to be the head coach at Ohio State, and he said to me, hey, would you consider transferring to Kent State University? And I was like, Kent State, where's that? And he said, Ohio. And I was like, Ohio, like, where's that?
And is there a beach anywhere close to Ohio?
Yeah, right. Well, apparently there was, right? And late in Cleveland. So I went up to Ohio, and I went up there, and I got distracted. I went up there, and I met the most incredible man. His name was Mike Morrow. He was the golf coach at Kent State University, and he offered me a scholarship pretty much and without seeing me swing a golf club, but going off the basis that he was told that I was a good person. And so I ended up accepting the scholarship, and I went up there to Kent State, and I got to spend the first 6 months just recovering. I didn't have to play. They had no expectation from me, except they gave me a learning specialist, and she gave me this this challenge, like, hey, we're going to trick your brain into remembering things. And it was became a kind of an almost a game to try and get my memory back, so I could pass my college and with my degree. And I ended up becoming an All-American scholar while I was up there. I did end up passing my getting a good GPA and helping the team out that way. But the key thing happened when I was on campus one day. It was snowing. I think I've made it no secret to you, Mike, that I'm not a fan of snow. I'm not a fan of the cold. And I had never really seen snow before I lived in Ohio. I thought I had seen it in Oklahoma, but that was ice. But really, one day I was walking across campus, and it was snowing, and I was just really not happy with my life and where it had been, and how on earth did I get to Ohio, and why am I here? And every time I'd start thinking that way, there would be a guy who'd cross my path, and he was blind. And one morning, he was walking along, and he was singing at the top of his lungs. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning on campus, and it had been snowing. It was freezing cold. And he was just la-di-da-di-da-di-da, like singing. And I held the door open for him as he walked into a building. And he was like, well, thank you. And I said, no worries. And he goes, wait. He dropped his cane. He was like, wait, you're a New Zealander? And he pulled me close to him, and he gave me a hug. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, my pastor is from New Zealand. And I was like, okay. And then we started talking, and he said to me, hey, have you seen me on campus before? And I said, yeah. And he goes, can you make sure that if you see me, you reach out and you say hello, because I won't see you. And I said, yeah, sure. And then every time he would leave me, he would tell me that, you know, Jesus loves you. And whenever I started questioning my life, like, why am I here? What is my purpose? Michael would cross my path. And it was always at, like, that was his name. It was always at the most inconvenient times when I didn't really want to, you know, be stopped. And he one day stopped me, and he asked me if he could share something with me. And he pulled out his little Braille, which is his Bible. And he started sharing the gospel with me and just broke down in tears and shared his testimony with me. And I looked at him, and I was like, okay, this is a little bit strange, but this is awesome. And then I went home to New Zealand for a summer holiday. I didn't see Michael again for about another 6 months. It was summer here, and I went back to finish an internship in New Zealand and had found myself in a pretty low spot again and wanted to, like, not really carry on with this life. I was just so mad at how everything had turned out. So different to what I thought when I first stepped on the plane to go to America when I was 19. And I was walking around the lake, and the song came on. It was raining, and a song came on my iPod back in the day when we didn't have iPhones, we had iPods. And the song was called Lead Me to the Cross. And I couldn't figure out how the song made it to my iPod, but I listened to the lyrics, and I just, it talked about, just the love of Jesus and the love that he poured out on the cross for us. And I was walking, it was quite dramatic, Mike, but I was walking around the lake, pouring rain, and I stopped and I just looked up and I was like, really, Jesus, are you real right now? Because I don't understand how this could happen, and then this could happen, and then this could happen. And I continued walking, and I said, if you're real, you have to show me, because I have a real hard time believing. And then I turned the corner, and there, ridden across the dirt, and this dirt path was just, I love you, Sarah. And in that moment, I got it. I got it. And I gave my life to Christ and told him that I would follow him if he showed me how.
Well, Sarah, I have, again, every time in this segment, and we're in segment three now, and it's just a marvelous story. And there are so many things that have crossed your path that I just thank God for. And certainly, mm-hmm. Michael, you know, to be able to hear your voice and say, are you from New Zealand? Because that's where my pastor is from. I you know, for him to step out and for him to say, hey, can I share something with you? I just think, you know, I thank God for people like that. I just do, sir, because if you know, that this is what we're commissioned to do. We're supposed to do that, but it's a very difficult thing for a lot of us to do that, to be able to say, mm-hmm. hey, let me talk about this part of my life. We're going to get to a quick break. We're going to continue our conversation. And I just, man, I love your testimony, Sarah. It just means so much because you've come back a number of times from some places and some things that may have had people in the fetal position where they would have said, you know what, I don't believe because of this is what happened to me. And if there was this, then why would he allow me to get in this car accident, to have this memory loss, to do this, to do that? And for you to hear that song, have no idea why you heard it and why when you came around the corner, somebody had put that there. It's awesome. She is Sarah Bradley Young, Director of College Women's Ministry. You can go to their website, and it is globalgolforg.org. And I promise that we're going to have her on another show, and we're going to talk a lot about what she's trying to accomplish on college campuses. But I wanted you to know her. I wanted you to get to meet her and hear her testimony and get a chance to kind of get a feel for the kind of young lady that she is. And she's going to be a phenomenal mother. I can tell you this, that I believe that this little baby that's coming in a couple of months to her and her husband, Kyle, just the luckiest baby ever. Just is. This baby is just going to be filled with love from this woman, and I'm such a fan of hers. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, I'm going to dry my eyes a little bit, and then we'll continue with Sarah Bradley Young. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan, I'm Mike McGivern, and our special guest. I'm just a bigger fan of hers now than I was 2 weeks ago doing all this research with her. I thank Michael, who you know, reached out and said, hey, I have something to tell you. And I can tell you that this has changed her life, obviously. She is Sarah Bradley Young, Director of College Women's Ministry for Global Golf. During the break, I told Sarah that I promise once this baby is born and you guys are in some sort of routine that I would have her back on because I want to talk more about what she's doing on college campuses with Global Golf. But I just find her story and her life so riveting that I wanted to really stay with this. So, Sarah, we just have about 7 or 8 minutes left in the segment. When you then came around the corner and you saw that, can you talk and you basically went to your knees and said, Lord, I'm yours. What has changed mm-hmm. so much in your life? And talk a little bit about the difference in what you're doing now compared to who you were back then.
Yeah. So drastically changed my whole life. I came back to the U.S. and I had to kind of try and figure out how to play golf out of this new identity, you know, of one that wasn't desperate to win or to prove herself. But I had an incredible college experience. And I look back on both Oklahoma State and Kent State. I love both of those programs and those schools so much because they were so pivotal in shaping who I am today. But I left college with this, still this desire to see if I could play professional golf. I went back to New Zealand. I still had the side effects of my head injury. Really, really poor, bad migraines. I could barely make it through, really, a round of golf without without wanting to go have a sleep under the tree. But one day I was in a church back home in New Zealand, and there was an altar call for healing. And I didn't know that I believed in that. I hadn't really heard about that before, but somehow I found myself up there, and I was prayed over. And that day, it was like April 12th, 2013, and I was healed from my head injury, completely healed. And it was a long process, about an hour of people praying, but I haven't had a migraine since. And then I went on to go to the LPGAQ school. I came back here into the States, and it was a dream getting back here to America. I love it here. I love the people. I just love golf. I love everything about the U.S. And I thought I had made it. I had made it through to stage two in the LPGA school qualifying. I didn't quite make it to final stage, but I had plans to go and play professionally. And then I got back to New Zealand, and my dad, so I was in a car accident with, they found out what had caused our accident, and it was a hole that he had in his heart, which was causing strokes.
Mm.
So long story short, I stayed in New Zealand for another 4 or 5 months while my dad was in recovery. They have a busy cafe restaurant, and I stepped in as the cook and the sous chef there, and it really put a halt on me playing professional golf. And I got a phone call from Annie Young. She was at the time the head golf coach at Colorado State University, and she said, "Hey, I noticed you're not playing. Come be my assistant." And I prayed about it, and yeah, I was on the next plane to Colorado. And that was my entry into coaching. And I thought, this is how I can give back to college golfers, is through becoming a coach. The issues that I had with my visa, because of the stupid mistake I made when I was used a fake ID, continued to haunt me, because I could not get an H-1B visa, a working visa. So I ended up in Tulsa, where they promised me a visa, but they couldn't get me one. And I ended up staying on a student visa and getting my MBA while coaching full-time as an assistant coach. And that's where I met my husband, Kyle, who played basketball and football at TU. So that's kind of a quick version of the last,
eight years.
But
you've got to, it's here with just a couple of minutes. You've got to be so happy to, I know that this ministry that you're the director of, the College Women's Ministry with Global mm-hmm. Golf, it's not, because of COVID, it's not to a point where you had hoped, but I know, and again, we only have 2 minutes left, but I know that in the future, that this is something that that you are really planning on having, you know, throughout the country, and I know that's a big step, and you're hoping the Lord, obviously, you know, will help us with this, but that is something that you will definitely get back to once you give birth and spend some time with this baby.
So being in college ministry has been a huge blessing. It's like they're mentoring roles with girls from all across the country, all around the world, and I'm excited to continue these relationships. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So I'm really praying right now, and I'm hoping there are two girls I'm speaking to, one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast, who are both married and feel called to go into ministry. And so we're talking about what that looks like for them. Obviously, a lot of fundraising is required for not only salary expenses, but resources as well. We travel a lot with the tournaments around the country.
So, Sarah, I'm sure that's a really important part. GlobalGolfOrg.org. GlobalGolfOrg.org. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling led to help Sarah in this ministry, There's a place there that you can go on that website and donate. So whether it's $10, $100, $1,000, whatever it is, if you love golf the way Sarah does and you want to continue, you want to help her continue this ministry in college women's golf, please do that. Sarah, we are out of time, and I'm so sorry for that. I promise that once things settle down for you a little bit, I will have you back, and we'll spend that entire hour about global golf and some of the things that you offer, some of the things that you guys do on college campuses. But I just really wanted you to be able to tell your story a little bit on this show. And segment two with Sarah Bradley Young will come in 6 or 7 months. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you and Kyle. And certainly good luck with the delivery of this, your first child coming up here in a few weeks.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
You bet. Again, Sarah Bradley Young. Follow her on Twitter, Sarah Global Golf, and Instagram as well, and then globalgolforg.org. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.